And with that, we'll move to 14 and receive an AIS summary update with from Mr. Jake Davis.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, Secretary Roebling. Let me pull up my presentation here. Is that showing right now?
I believe, yes, it is. Go ahead and get started.
All right. Thank you again, Jake Davis, Fisheries Program Administrator. This afternoon, just going to share with you a program update from our Aquatic Invasive Species Program. As the state is transitioning from the open water period to the hard water period, we're wrapping up our field operations and just thought it'd be a good time to share what occurred this last year as far as aquatic invasive species in South Dakota. So what I'll cover in this presentation, first we'll cover communications. When we work to slow the spread of AIS in South Dakota, outreach and education is our primary tool, trying to provide all the surface waters of South Dakota with the proper information that they can use to implement best management practices anytime they use a water. Cover what we saw this year as far as our program numbers in 2025. Also provide some information on our detection and monitoring program. Want to provide ways that members of the public can report any possible findings of AIS in South Dakota. Cover our one-stop shop, sdleastwanted.sd.gov, and then kind of wrap anything up and certainly take any questions that the commission may have. So with that, again, talking about communications, as this is something that we rely on every user to help us slow the spread of AIS in South Dakota, outreach and education is that primary tool. So we utilize our communication staff immensely, and they do a fantastic job. Every year we put together a communications plan. 2025 was no different. Within that plan, we have several different components that we utilize throughout the year. One thing that we do is send specific AIS emails throughout the year to really anybody that we have a contact email for. What these emails can involve information on is any new positive waters. So anytime throughout the year that we determine a water body to be positive for zebra mussels in particular, we do send an email on that. We also send out specific emails to user groups that we may see through our watercraft inspections that we're trying to target. For example, one would be the use of personal watercraft jet skis. In particular, we were seeing at our watercraft inspections that this user group, in many cases, didn't know there was a plug on these watercraft. So we sent a specific email to them informing them on this feature of that watercraft, to be honest. Additionally, we send emails on busy weekends, such as Memorial Day, 4th of July, and Labor Day. We also utilize gas station TVs across the state. 43 gas station TVs will play a short ad. So as individuals are filling up with gas for either their personal vehicle or their watercraft, they're going to see a short video with an AIS themed message. We also have a large presence on social media, that Facebook. We send a lot of AIS themed Facebook posts throughout the year. A lot of them are very timely regarding open water period or even for ice anglers in the winter, ways that they can slow the spread, that sort of thing. So again, a lot of different ways that we try and reach people with AIS specific information. Another way that we reach people is through direct interactions in the field. Our watercraft inspection and decontamination program is where we have staff in the field statewide interacting with users, specifically conducting watercraft inspections. This is a program that's been functioning for a number of years now, started in 2018. And has been increasing every year. So we conduct these inspections during the primary boating season. For us, that's May through October. In 2025, across the state, staff conducted nearly 19,000 inspections. So at these inspections, this is when an individual is actually interacting with a watercraft and the user, the owner, inspecting that watercraft for any AIS. Additionally, another staff member is engaged with the driver of a vehicle, going through a survey, asking questions on where the watercraft has been most recently, and then also providing information through the use of a RAC card that has information on AIS best management practices. So this year, again, almost 19,000 inspections across the state. Our plug compliance rate. So in this case here, this is where the user is in compliance with our plug removal regulations, where any plug that can in a water storage area needs to be removed. So not only the main plug of the boat, but that would include live wells as well. Our plug compliance rate was around 98%. This is what it's been the last couple of years. We're very happy to see this number. In all cases here, when we see that plug removed, those users are doing what they can to help reduce the risk that they are contributing to the spread of AIS across the state. Again, this is something that we consider to be a user-driven spread. So in that case, we need user compliance by everybody that's out there using the surface water of the state. So plug compliance rate is one of our primary metrics that we use. C98% is a number that is in line with what we've seen the last couple of years and one we're quite happy with. What we like to say is more than likely you're not going to see that level of seatbelt compliance out there on the roads. As far as decontaminations that were performed this year by staff across the state, we saw just over 100. As far as citations that were written, 58 citations and 28 warnings were written as well at these watercraft inspections. Just to break down numbers a little bit more, here's the locations that we conducted these watercraft inspections. And then on the left, the roving and fixed access base are the type of inspections. So a roving crew is one that is gonna bounce around, if you will. They're still gonna focus on access points, boat ramps, but what they're gonna do is be a little bit more opportunistic where there might be a bite happening, or we know it's gonna be a busy weekend at a certain water body. In other cases, we have fixed access base sites. A lot of these are gonna be in western South Dakota, where we have fewer water bodies and fewer access points, so we set up in permanent locations. You can see the numbers for 2024 and 2025. What I do want to point out is there will be some differences between years. What that's going to be is just show the variability at specific sites. This can be attributed to certain things such as environmental conditions. Weather does drive this where we see traffic. It also varies due to where fishing bites may happen. In certain cases, if there's a hot bite, it does direct user traffic. And then in some cases, it's things such as road construction. The example that I'll point out is Pactola Reservoir. We had over 3,000 inspections in 2024, but just over 1,600 in 2025. Effort was the same as far as a watercraft inspection site at both boat ramps at Pactola Reservoir. However, Highway 385 was under construction. That does impact usage because it limits access to that location. So again, when we see some differences in numbers, it's not necessarily because there was less effort out there. There can just be other things that it can be attributed to, such as environmental, road construction, and then even just the fishing bite as well. So here's where we had our locations. Again, very similar effort in 2025 as we had in 2024. As far as the AIS detection and monitoring, Game Fish and Park staff conducts AIS surveys. These surveys are conducted by both parks and fisheries staff across the state. We have a lot of fishery staff, for example, that are going to water bodies across the state to conduct fish population surveys. We've been able to incorporate a couple extra survey methods to survey for aquatic invasive species as well. So in 2025, we had basically 72 unique waters that were sampled by staff, and within those 72 waters, 124 different surveys. You can see the points on the map of the state basically just shows that it's a shotgun blast across the state where our staff are conducting surveys. We also work with lake associations and other interested parties to conduct survey methods through the public. They can submit citizen science type reports through sdleastwanted.sd.gov. If you go to the citizen monitoring portal on the SD Least Wanted site, there's instructions how to build samplers, for example. We also pass out settler samplers that people can hang from their dock, that they set them out in the spring, pull them in the fall, and look for zebra mussels, for example. But basically, it's a way that members of the public can provide information that is used and followed up on by Game Fish and Parks. So they can help be our eyes and ears in the field as well, as we can't be everywhere all the time. As far as what we saw in 2025 regarding zebra mussel positive detections, at this point in 2025, to our knowledge, 5 additional water bodies have been determined to be positive for zebra mussels, those being Campbell Slough, Sheridan Reservoir, Horseshoe Lake, Mina Lake, and Lake Oliver. Most of the infrastructure is out, and when I say infrastructure, that would be docks, fishing piers, boat lifts. Most of it is out for the winter. This time of year is when we do see a lot of, or a higher proportion of positive waters, just because in the case of things like zebra mussels that attach, when you pull that infrastructure, that gives you the best opportunity to inspect it. And in a lot of cases, that's when we do find new positive waters during the fall. So at this point, 5 in 2025. There is a little bit of infrastructure still waiting to be pulled as ice cover is still on its way in portions of the state. but in all honesty, most of it has been removed. So for members of the public, as far as reporting AIS, if they believe that they may have found an AIS in a location that we don't know that it's there, several different reporting options. They can go on sdleasewanted.sd.gov and report it through the citizen monitoring portal. They can also notify the local Game Fish and Parks office, or they can send the information to Tanner Davis, our aquatic invasive species coordinator. We do want to provide a little bit of instruction for folks. That is, please take a photo and document the location, but leave the specimen in place. There are regulations that prohibit the possession of AIS by members of the public. There are a few exemptions, but in general, we'd rather just take a picture, document the location, leave the specimen, and then notify us so that we can follow up. We do appreciate any information that we do get from the public, and in a number of cases, this is how we've determined a new AIS in a new location is through reports from the public. Also, just want to briefly talk on sdleasewanted.sd.gov. It's our one-stop shop on AIS in South Dakota. If folks are interested in learning about what AIS are found in South Dakota and where, this would be the location to go. I have a picture here of a map that's up. Folks can filter by species to find the locations. Also, the site contains photos, distribution maps, some basic biology of a number of different species. It also contains laws and regulations related to AIS, helps prepare people for using surface waters of the state. We have a media gallery, a news related, any new updates, and then also some frequently asked questions. These are developed by staff just from what we tend to hear from the public on questions related to AIS. So again, if folks are curious about aquatic invasive species in South Dakota, sdleasewanted.sd.gov is going to be that location. So in summary, for 2025, nearly 19,000 watercraft inspections were conducted across the state. I do want to take this opportunity to thank staff. This is a very large lift. These watercraft inspections are conducted by fishery staff, with assistance from park staff, law enforcement. We also have other state agencies that are a big part of this, Department of Public Safety, Department of Transportation. Federal partners that help fund this would be U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, Bureau of Reclamation, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, U.S. Forest Service. We have our partnerships in Western South Dakota with our local county conservation district. So Pennington County Conservation District, Butte County Conservation District, Fall River County Conservation District, Perkins County Conservation District. Again, a lot of just different partners out there. I want to take this opportunity to thank Tanner Davis. He puts a large amount of effort into getting this program on the ground and up and running every year. Our local field staff, that train staff, they themselves are out there. Additionally, just a big ask. There's a lot of moving pieces when you think about any given day throughout the summer, 12 different inspection stations likely running, and just that number of nearly 19,000 unique inspections it's a big lift. So a big thank you to everybody that's involved with that program. Other partnerships that we have, we reach out to our list of 30-some lake associations every year. We provide information for them. They help disseminate that to their members. Additionally, they help us monitor for AIS and the given water bodies that they're located on. A big thank you to those lake associations as well. So far in 2025, we have 5 new water bodies confirmed for zebra mussels. Again, folks that are curious on any information on AIS, please visit sdleasewanted.sd.gov. And as always, clean, drain, dry. That is a message that we continue to push, and it's one that those three words are really big. We ask everybody to do their part when it comes to slowing the spread of AIS in South Dakota, and clean, drain, dry would be the way to do that. With that, Madam Chair, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Very good. Thank you, Jake. Questions from the commission or comments?
Madam Chair, Jim White here. Jake, I keep hearing about the way that mussels attack the underwater habitat in these lakes. Have you heard or seen any evidence that this is impacting any special lakes? I'm just following up with some of the rumors that I hear. Thank you.
Through the chair?
Yes, please.
Yes, Commissioner White. So to answer that question, we monitor our fish populations through our standard fishery surveys that are conducted on most waters annually. To this point, we have not noticed any decline in fish populations as a result of AIS. We do certainly monitor what's out there in the literature as far as impacts of AIS to aquatic ecosystems and sport fisheries. Additionally, we do work with our local universities to conduct AIS research in South Dakota. But as of right now, we don't have any indication that they're impacting our recreational fisheries.
Thank you.
Additional questions from the commission? Jake, just one question. I continually get asked about the compliance rate, that 98%. Can you just take just a little bit deeper dive on how that number is determined?
Yes, Madam Chair. So during a watercraft inspection, what's going to happen is a watercraft truck and trailer pull up into a watercraft inspection station. There's going to be two individuals there to conduct that inspection. The first individual will engage the driver and begin the survey portion. The second individual will actually begin the watercraft inspection of the actual watercraft itself, and this is where we would get that compliance number from, if that individual is in compliance. So there's, depending on the kind of watercraft that we have, it may be a simple hand launch, such as a canoe or kayak that has no plug, if you will. But if it's a more complex boat, that can be anything from a fishing boat to a wake surf boat that has internal ballast tanks, all that sort of thing. There's any number of plugs that may be in that watercraft. It can be the primary plug that most people think of below the outboard, for example, but there's also several internal plugs as well. It can be any kind of ballast control plug. It can be a plug in the live well, and that's what the individual that is inspecting the watercraft will look for. And depending on the kind of watercraft that it is, that dictates the number of plugs and the locations that they're looking for. This is all part of the training that they get at the start of the field season, but they will enter the watercraft to make sure that those water control structure plugs are removed, and that's where we get the number. If those are all removed, then that user is determined to be in compliance. If those plugs are in, then they are determined to not be in compliance. And so each boat is, again, determined on how many plugs and where based on the kind of watercraft that it is, and that's all determined during those watercraft inspections.
Very good. Thank you. Any other questions from the commission? Seeing none, we appreciate the update. Thank you, Jake.
Thank you.
And we'll move on to number 15.